Thank you, Miss Linda. We will work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Appreciate that. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. And then we're also going to look at a few verses in 1 Kings 3. So 1 Kings 11 and 1 Kings 3. Over the years, I guess the past 40 years or so, we've all seen instances, for me it's 40 years, for you it might be more, we've all seen instances of where men and women of God, sometimes leaders of great churches or institutions, have fallen into sin and they ended their life in a much worse way than they started their life as a child of God. It's so sad when a person starts well, they live well, but they don't end well. And here in 1 Kings chapter 11, we see a little, an example of that in King Solomon. And we're going to start reading in verse number 1, 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Now the first word in that verse is but. And that word but right there is a big word. It represents a huge change in the life of Solomon and his Christian life. Now go back with me to chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to see a couple of examples of how King Solomon started, how he started his life with his Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 12. The Lord says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." He's talking to Solomon here. "So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Now look down in verse number 28. Chapter 3, verse 28. "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." Now, chapter 4, verse number 29. Just the next chapter there. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart." Love those words, man. "Even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." Verse number 34. "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard his wisdom." So he started out well in a very good way. God blessed him, gave him wisdom. He gave him discretion and judgment and great riches. And people from all over the earth traveled to see him and to seek his advice. But in chapter 11, he starts venturing out in his life in some very bad ways, and he starts with women. And the Bible says there in verse number 1, he loved many strange women. Verse number 2, one of the most tragic verses of the Bible concerning any man's life. It says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." Now, for Solomon, this was not a passing fancy. This was not some problem of lust. He had a heart that loved these strange women. And it continues and says, verse 3, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. These are gods, idols. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. This is probably one of the most saddest commentaries on a man of God as he declines in his later years. And although God had blessed him and he had given him such wisdom and such good success in his life, he still went south in this area here. Notice in verse number 6 there, the last part of that verse says, he went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. I tell you what, God's word has a lot to say about us going fully after the Lord. God's not interested in half of my heart, and he's not interested in half of your heart. He doesn't want me to come up here on Sunday morning and get behind this podium here and say one thing and then go out to my job on Monday and say another. He wants me to be real. He wants me to give my heart and my affections to the Lord. And let me tell you what, if you just are honest about things, that can get quite convicting. If we really look deep inside and we see what Brother David and I were talking this morning about our time, and if you do a self-analysis of your time, how much does the Word of God get of the time in your week? That's what we were talking about. And so many things come and take a part of that and take us away and distract us. But here in this chapter, Solomon went not fully after the Lord. He didn't do what his daddy did. Solomon had a divided heart. And the Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It doesn't say he's just unstable at church or in reading the Word of God, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you can see in the life of Solomon how he went completely berserk. His heart was allowed to go. How can you be a husband to 700 wives? No, you can't. God never designed that. He never designed anything beyond the one. But Solomon was not like his daddy. King David, his daddy, said in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Listen to this. Unite my heart. You know what unite means? Come together. And David wanted his heart to come together and be united to fear God's name. With Solomon, first was the area of marriages and women. God never blessed that. God never designed that. In that society, women were viewed as little more than a possession anyway. And kings traded women, and they bought women and concubines and wives. And that's just what happened during that time. But the Bible makes a point to say that Solomon didn't just have them. He loved them. He loved them. And there's nothing wrong with marrying that person that God's designed for us to have. I've been blessed to have that. A good marriage is a great thing to have. One husband said, just on a lighter note, one husband said, I asked my wife, where do you want to go for our anniversary? And he continues, it warmed my heart to see her face melt in such sweet appreciation. And she said, somewhere I haven't been in a long time. So I suggested, how about the kitchen? And that's about when the fight started. Solomon's first mistake was doing something that God had designed against. God designed one man, one woman, and that's clearly taught in the creation account of history. Verse 1 said that he had many strange women. And we've seen so many times in our lessons in the past few weeks that sin is not content to keep just one of anything. When you get into something, it wants more and more and more. Sin will run its course until it's over. In fact, sin, when it is finished, the book of James says, bringeth forth death. There's no good there. And so verse 7 continues, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their God. Now, it's no coincidence. God had told him, don't go after these strange women. Don't pick your wife out of these countries that serve idols, because they'll lead your heart down that path, and you don't want to do that. Well, Solomon does just what God told him not to do, and before long, he's not only having these women and these wives and these 300 concubines, but he's building temples to their strange gods. And he's starting to worship himself their strange gods. And verse 9 continues, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Now, Solomon had a problem in clearly listening and clearly obeying what God wanted him to do. Solomon had a problem with staying in the right course. Solomon had a problem with staying the course. He had a problem with doing the right thing. You know what's sad about all this? Is that Solomon, in his senior years, we know something about that, don't we? In his senior years, in his older life, that he was ensnared by such youthful lust. That's sad. And yet we should never think that we're beyond that or any particular sin, because we're not. We're human. We have the same type of heart and the same type of mind that Solomon had. Different environment, different times, but we're all the same as far as what the capabilities that we have to go off the deep end at any given point in time. It's sad that Solomon had such great understanding that God had given him to be duped and to turn in his heart after false gods. And yet we think, well, I would never do that. I was raised in church and I was saved when I was a little kid, and I'll never do that. But once again, we should never put ourselves on that podium or that lofty place, because we'll get knocked off of it. And so God was angry with Solomon. God was angry with Solomon because of his choices. He failed God in such a big way. And verse 11 continues, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out in the hand of thy son. You know what? Sin, when it comes into our life, it doesn't just hurt us, it hurts those around us. It hurts our family. And here in this case, Solomon was the one who gave his heart to the idols. And the Lord tells him, he says, listen, I'm going to take your kingdom away from you. But you're not, it's going to be from your, it's going to be from your those generations after you. And when we sin, we may not realize it. We may not think that it affects, you know, our family or our neighbors or our friends. But sin affects more than just us. No man is an island. And he says in verse 13, howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Now don't forget, God had appeared unto Solomon twice, and he had dedicated the temple, and he had dedicated for many years himself to the Lord. Yet Solomon was ungrateful for all of that, and he gave himself away to idolatry. And so God takes away the kingdom, and he says, I'm going to take your kingdom away, and of your lineage, I'm going to take it all away except for one tribe. And I'm going to do that, Solomon, not for you, but because of your dad. David was so faithful to the Lord that God remembered that faithfulness, and he said, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make sure you have one tribe, and it's because of the faithfulness of your father. You don't deserve it, Solomon, but I'm going to give it to you. And then God goes and he sends adversaries Solomon's way. Look in verse number 14. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. And we don't have time to go through all the following verses about Hadad, but something happened here. We don't know exactly what, but Hadad was an enemy to Solomon. And we know that God made Hadad an enemy unto him because of his disobedience to God. And then after Hadad, there was another man down in verse number 23, Rezon. The Bible says, and God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon. And then in verse number 26, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, there was three adversaries, enemies in this chapter that God sent his way because of his disobedience. There's a verse that comes to mind here. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. Solomon is on the other end of that spectrum. Solomon started his life out right, and he lived it right for a while, but he didn't end it right. And because of that, God sent him some enemies. Those same people, I'm sure, were around for the first 10 years, the first 10 chapters. But they weren't a problem until he disobeyed the Lord, and God said, okay, Johnny over here, I'm just making names up. Johnny over here, you've lived with him, you've served with him. Well, now he's going to be your enemy. And God humbled, that was God's way to try to humble that hard heart that Solomon had and that disobedient heart that he had. And it says in verse 29, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam, that's the third enemy, went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. He got a new coat. And they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of thy hand, out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give 10 tribes to thee. So God leaves him with that one tribe, and it's not going to even happen till after he's off the scene. But God, in his mercy, he gave him that one tribe, and he's going to give the other 10 to his enemy. Wouldn't it have been so much easier for Solomon just to continue his faithfulness and continue to serve the Lord? Back to the statement I made when we started the lesson. We've seen in our, the past 40 or 50 or 60 years, great leaders in Christianity, great men of God who served well. Some of them were pastors, and they served for many years, only towards the end of their life to let that all go away with something that they did. Maybe it was an affair. Maybe it was the misappropriation of money. Maybe it was something else. It don't matter what it is. It's when we go down that path, it could be anything. So here Solomon is afflicted by God sending these enemies against him and sending these people against him, and God had foretold that a long, long time ago. Let me read you a couple of verses from 2 Samuel, verse number 7, or chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7, verse 13 says, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. God says, I'll get your attention, Solomon, and I'll do it by other men. And sure enough, he's got three enemies here in this chapter. And I can't help but think in Solomon, and we don't know because there was no record of this. In fact, after Solomon started disobeying the Lord, we have very little record of anything, except I think down in verse number 40 in our chapter where he sought to murder Jeroboam. So this man starts his life out serving the Lord and building a great temple for him, and people from all over the world come to hear his wisdom that God gave him, and he ends his life, and one of the only things we know is that he was intent on murdering somebody. Boy, he went down a bad, bad path. And I can't help but think that Solomon, as he's at that end of his life and he starts thinking about all of this and all of the spectrum from all the good and the decline into all the mess that he got himself in, I can't help but thinking that he reflected upon much of that. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25, he says, "Applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness." And listen to what he says here. "And I find more bitter than death the woman." Whoa. Yeah. All 700 of them. You know, 300 concubines. "I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." That was firsthand experience. Solomon said, "Man, I've been there. I've given my heart away." And it's not the point that it was a woman, y'all. The point is it can be anything, anything. Anything that distracts our attentions and our love away from the Lord. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, that we don't have to go down that path. And you think, "Well, I'm not going to have those 700 wives. I'm not going." Listen, that's not the issue. The issue is, as time goes on, walking with the Lord should be sweeter day by day. I mean, it should be, you know, if you're a child of God who spends more days in the week angry with your brother or sister than loving them, then something's wrong. And we do, hey, listen, things do go wrong. You know, we're not perfect. We get crossways with each other. You know, sometimes we act like idiots and it affects people, and forgiveness has to be extended. But that song we sing around here, sometimes Brother David leads us, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." And just in my life here, the longer I'm into the Word of God, when I really give the Word of God good time in the week, when I really take time to not just read the words, but to see what he's trying to show me, it becomes sweeter and sweeter the more that I do it. The final chapter in Solomon's life is written with the spotlight that centered not on the Lord, but on himself. He wanted to please himself. And when we want to do that, and we don't care what God wants, and when we don't want to walk with God, and we don't want to please the Lord in what we do, we become just like Solomon. And we may not have the 1,000 women, but we experience a life that no longer has any testimony for the Lord. Solomon started out as a man of peace. He had wisdom. He had talents. He had taste, splendid taste, to build that kingdom. Israel became a majestic kingdom, but slowly, almost unnoticeably, there had to be that first wife from that strange country. And then from there, it was a downward progress. And from there, Solomon became a man that didn't love the Lord. He didn't make choices that served the Lord and honored the Lord. And it's just so sad that when you see a man who started well and lived well, but he did not end well. And I can't help but thinking that if Solomon could read the Word of God that we have after all these years, if he could read the Word of God now, he would be very close to some verses from the New Testament. Matthew 16, verse 26. Just imagine Solomon at the end of his life if he could have read this verse. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Solomon had it all. "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, for Solomon, he tried to exchange 1,000 women. That's the least we know about. We know that. 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Brother Chris, on, I believe it was Wednesday night, talked about how great it is to have things, and it's great to have possessions, and we enjoy them and we love them, but do we serve them? Do we make that our all end all, or are they just part of what we have? 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I wish somebody would have set Solomon aside, and maybe they did. We don't have all the records of the details, but maybe they did. I wish somebody had set Solomon down after that first strange woman, or that woman from that strange country, after the very first one, and said, "Hey, listen, The Bible says, the world passes away and lust passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Solomon, you're going down the wrong path. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11 says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Does anybody know who said that? Solomon. Thank you, Royce. Solomon said that. At the end of his life, he looks back on all these 1,000 women and all this wealth and all the activities and these buildings that he's erected, you know, and he says, man, all that's empty. It's all vanity, vexation of spirit, no profit there. That's wisdom. And, you know, we're, like I said, we're not living in Solomon's time. We're a little different, but we can be individuals if we don't keep our hearts sensitive and humble to be led by the Holy Spirit. We could turn out to be individuals who, in our Christian life, started well, and we lived and served well, but we don't end well. We're just talking a few minutes ago about some individuals who started well, lived well, but right now at this time in their life, there's just nothing there for the Lord. And that's where Solomon was. Would you pray with me?